allergies, itchy eyes or skin, cold or sore throat, tummy trouble, aches and pains? Think pharmacy first. Your local pharmacy is your expert NHS health team, treating a wide range of common illnesses and health concerns, with no need to visit your GP. Remember, always keep a well-stocked medicine cabinet and order repeat prescriptions in plenty of time. Find your local pharmacy at nhs.uk/findapharmacy. NHS, here to help.
This is the North East and North Cumbria Providers Podcast, highlighting the fantastic work taking place across the region to provide the highest quality of care.
Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of the Providers Podcast. I'm your host, Harry Newhouse, Communications Officer for the North East and North Cumbria Provider Collaborative. Today we're at North Cumbria to explore a major development in diagnostic care, the opening of a brand new multi-million pound endoscopy unit at the Cumberland Infirmary in Carlisle. This state-of-the-art facility is designed to improve patient experience, reduce waiting times, and bring vital services closer to home. Joining me is Deborah Gibson, Lead Nurse Endoscopist at North Cumbria Integrated Care NHS Foundation Trust. Deborah has played a key role in shaping the new unit and ensuring it meets the needs of both patients and staff. Welcome, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Please could you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your career in endoscopy and nursing?
So, my name's Deborah Gibson. I am an upper GI nurse endoscopist, which means I do gastroscopy examinations. I've been an endoscopist now for over 20 years. I've been in endoscopy for getting on for 27 years. Before that, I worked as a surgical nurse and within private healthcare. So I also did a stint working in a small private hospital. And I am now coming up to retirement, having had done 45 years within nursing in general.
Can you give us an overview of the new endoscopy unit? What's new and why is it such a big step forward?
So this endoscopy facility is purpose-built, designed specifically for endoscopy in mind. We have been able to incorporate some of the new developments that are in terms of pathway that are now a requirement for modern facilities. Our previous endoscopy unit was the original PFI hospital, and whilst it was always designated for endoscopy, it wasn't really set out as well as it could have been. But this facility, thanks to the work that the team that have been developing it and the architects and the clinical team have supported, we have now got a really good pathway flow for patients that acknowledges the need for their privacy and dignity from admission right through to discharge. It's also enabled us to bring on back on site our booking team and our pre-assessment service all into one facility. Previously, our booking team, because it had expanded when I first started it, our booking team consisted of one person. We now have, I think there's about nine of them, but that enables us to ensure that we have good booking team set up that can accommodate the booking for both units that are in North Cumbria, Carlisle and at Whitehaven. So that has enabled us to bring them all back onto one site, and it enables a better, closer working relationship between our pre-assessment team and the booking team, because that's essential to ensure that the cases that are going to be assessed, they have all the information from the booking team, and the booking team also can be supported by pre-assessment. So that's enabled a much improved pathway on both upper and lower floors.
And what kinds of procedures are carried out in the unit, and how does the new environment support those?
So basic facilities are, we do gastroscopy, which is examinations on the stomach. We do colonoscopy, which is the lower bowel. Flexible sigmoidoscopy, which is a segment of the lower bowel. We also do endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatography, which is ERCP. Big tongue twister, so that's why we call it ERCP. That's an investigation where we're removing gallstones from bile ducts and looking at stenting and clearing blockages in the bile duct. We also undertake on this site bronchoscopies, and we are in the process of starting to launch a thoracoscopy investigation or treatment through the respiratory team as well.
And the unit includes lead lined treatment rooms. What's the significance of that from a clinical perspective?
A lead lined room means that you can undertake procedures that need x-ray. ERCP is an x-ray driven procedure. which also means stents, where we're placing stents within the luminal tract, such as within the esophagus, the duodenum, and also in the lower bowel. We can do that in the room, in the treatment, the area, without having to book in x-ray. So we get the benefit of an endoscopy flow and the care of the people who really know how to look after patients that are undergoing endoscopy in an area where they're most comfortable at. And also, it means that we're not being held or holding up x-ray procedures. And so it gives us more flexibility to accommodate those.
How will this new facility improve the experience for patients coming in for endoscopy procedures? I mean, you mentioned a bit there already.
Our old unit, the pathway flow, didn't really accommodate itself very easily to the modern needs for privacy and dignity. When our original unit was built, which was over 25, 26, 27 years ago, there wasn't the need for separated recovery areas for male and female. That was all part of the single sex requirement that the government brought in back then, back in about 2000, somewhere around there. And that unit wasn't compliant with that. We had messed around with it and tweaked around with it to try and make it as well as we could possibly get it, but it reached the point where we were really just borderline. We were able to pass our accreditation visit, but it wasn't acknowledged it was borderline. And to be honest, I think that was only on the back of the fact that they knew this one was coming in so very quickly. So now we've got individualised en-suite areas for people to get changed. We've got a proper segregation between pre-procedure and post-procedure. We've got proper designated single-sex recovery areas for male and female. And we've also got individualised pods, so for people who maybe need a little bit more privacy even. So for patients maybe who need somebody with learning disabilities who doesn't like to be in a big area, somebody who needs to bring their relatives in with them because of those needs, we now can accommodate them much better in the facilities we now hold for them.
Yeah, I mean, you showed me around this morning and you can tell it was sort of like a step-by-step process when you were taking me around with the patient flow. So, yeah, very good. One of the goals was to reduce the need for patients to travel to Newcastle, the North East in general. How is that being achieved?
So there are still some procedures where we have to send patients to Newcastle. These are more the bigger therapeutic procedures. But one of the things that we were also having to do was send people for procedures called endoscopic ultrasound, and also the thoracoscopy side that is being done. Those were only being able to be offered elsewhere. The aim is, obviously, we do now have the facility and the capacity where we can provide that here. Thoracoscopy will be coming online probably sometime in the new year, and that is partly being delivered by the fact that we've got this nice new big unit with the space to do that. There's also an element of staffing that's required for that, however, and that is one of our problems that we have insofar as getting the consultant staff who are able to deliver these procedures isn't as easy as in this area as we would like. But again, that's the benefit of this new unit. We hope that by having this nice new sparkly unit with fully equipped and with the best equipment, because we do have now a lot of very new top-of-the-range equipment, we will be able to encourage and entice, should we say, new consultant teams and clinicians to come and work in this area.
Because, yeah, it's a very rural area, isn't it?
So. It is, yeah. And we are away from the central hub, and because of that, it has its challenges.
Have you had any early feedback from patients or staff since the unit opened its doors?
Yeah, I mean, the feedback from the staff, you know, everybody, we've got quite a few jealous colleagues in the main hospital. And the fact that we have the nice facilities for the staff areas as well is also quite envious for some people. Patients like the fact it's nice, it's bright, it's airy, it's clean. We've also had some good feedback, the fact that it's actually separate from the hospital. They don't have to go into the main hospital to access this facility, so it's nice and easy for them to access that way.
And you've got nice big windows where it lets in a lot of natural daylight.
Our old unit had no windows at all. There was no external light at all. So this is nice and bright.
How does this new unit help the Trust meet like national diagnostic targets?
So our previous site, between the two hospitals, between Whitehaven and Carlisle, we had 5 endoscopy suites, 5 endoscopy rooms. We've now been able to increase that to having a 4th room here. And we've also built in some little bit extra capacity so that we can also, in time, expand into a fifth room here. That means that we can then take on the extra staff and the extra consultant team so that we can get enough patients, get improve our waiting times, because we can get more through the lists.
Has the expansion led to new roles or training opportunities for staff?
So, yeah, I mean, we have, I say, increased our nursing capacity, and so there's new roles within that. Having brought people in board and in terms of the administration side, we need to look at whether we've got the right staffing and the capacity within that. Our pre-assessment team, again, now we have a proper pre-assessment set up. We're looking, and we've now brought a pre-assessment for both units into one site, because it felt as though it, with them being next to the booking team, that made more sense. So we've been able to do that, and again, looking at the capacity within that and whether we need increasing that, whether we've got enough capacity, how it's been managed. So it's a very much a suck it and see sort of thing. You know, we're running with it and we're trying and we're assessing as we're going. In terms of training opportunities, we have recently, at the start of the year, we took on a new nurse endoscopist, clinical endoscopist, I should say we call them now, and she's currently in pre-training and very close to being signed off, so that was additional because we knew we would have the extra capacity.
How long does that training take?
It depends. So for a modality for an upper GI, which is what the new trainee is, you're talking 6 to 8 months, and as I say, Sue's nearly getting to the point where she's almost signed off. For a lower GI, for colonoscopy, it takes much longer because the time it takes to train for those procedures is longer. We have a recently trained colonoscopy, and she took a year to 18 months, I can't remember which, probably closer to 18 months for training off. So it does take time to train endoscopists. So it's having the capacity within the service as well for the training, so that we're not adversely affecting our waiting times, because obviously you can't throw them into a full list and expect them to be able to do them all. You've got to adjust the lists and make sure you've got capacity covered.
And as it takes such time, is it sort of like a rolling training? So it's like once one person's done it?
No. It depends on your need. When we took our latest recruit on, that was partly because we knew we'd need for the extra room, but also because we were preparing for me retiring and stepping back. One of the things that this new unit has encouraged, or actually been an enticement for, is we have two new clinical endoscopists who have been come to us both all fully trained. One came to us from down in the southeast, and one who's coming across from the Isle of Man, who are both joining us. And the fact that this facility was here and all nice and sparkly and new was a big enticement for them. So, yeah, so it is getting people on board at the right point, the right time. But it wouldn't normally be, you know, you train one, move next one on. Because you've got to employ these people. You've got to, and say, once we probably are now at capacity for what we need in terms of clinical endoscopists.
Yeah, and it's not just the facility that's new, it's the equipment, I presume, as well.
And we have brand new endoscopes and top of the range, brand new in what we call stacks, which is the equipment that you need, the processors, the light sources, all of the very clever digital technology to support high range and high quality endoscopy. And the latest equipment, 4K monitors, these sort of things, which means that the detection of small lesions is much easier.
You're part of the North East and North Cumbria Endoscopy Network. What is your role within the network?
I support the representation of this area. It's not just me. We have our business teams who also attend, and our clinical lead who also attends, and I'm sort of like the backup to them both. So we just attend the meetings, so represent what's happening in the area, take what's being fed back from the region to share amongst the area within them.
How does the network help train and improve the skills of our workforce? So obviously the training opportunities here, is that also within the network and spread across the North East and North Cumbria?
So the network, through the Northern Endoscopy Training Academy, they provide the support for training of all endoscopists, both medical and clinical. And again, we link into that, and they provide us with the support in terms of the academic access, the training for immersion site training for particularly the medical trainees, who get the opportunity for a lot of in-depth training, 3-4 weeks, where they are purely focused on training. And that we access that through the NETA and the network academies.
You've been closely involved in this project with the endoscopy unit. What's it been like for you to see it come to life?
Oh, it's been amazing. From a plot of land that was not only, what 2 years ago? Mm. Just over 2 years ago. A plot of land that was just at the top of the car park to this brand new building is just amazing. And to be able to think that, you know, this is the legacy we leave. This is, you know, this here is now going to outlive us and outlive our time in the NHS. It's just, it's been fantastic. And to be working very closely with the team, we have to accept, you know, that there are constraints. The unit we would really have loved was probably going to cost us 20, 25 million. Yeah. We didn't have 20 million. Mm. We've had to make accommodation for what we had, but it's still a fabulous facility, and it's lovely to see it come together.
Yeah, I suppose with yourself retiring pretty soon, but it's a nice lasting impact that you can always look at and say, oh, I was part of that.
Yeah, this is it. And, you know, as you come up the drive, it's there front and centre. Mm-hmm. It's really rather satisfying and lovely to see.
And looking ahead, what are your hopes for how this unit will continue and to evolve and serve the community?
So the hope is that it's brand new. We've got a nice new facility for seminar meeting rooms, as we're sitting in now. We're hoping to be able to utilise that for improved training. Regional training, we're looking at getting some audiovisual equipment into one of the treatment rooms so that we can actually do more in-depth training for the region as well, potentially, where we can see what's going on in the treatment room as well as being within the seminar room, so we can support training in that respect. We're hoping to be able to offer some immersion site training perhaps in the future. So from a training perspective, that's why we're really hoping this facility will help support. In terms of for patients, I would say once we get the fourth room operational, we will have greater capacity for ensuring our patients get seen in a timely manner. Our fifth room that is not set up currently for endoscopy allows us to do the non-endoscopy GI investigations such as pH manometry, which is a test that we do for patients who've got reflux disease generally before they go for, be considered for surgery, and also for colon capsule, which is a less invasive colon investigation to colonoscopy. So that's allowing us to do that, and hopefully, you know, that may in time also increase. But then when the point comes where we need five endoscopy rooms, we then have the capacity to expand even further. So having that flexibility and increased capacity generally will hopefully, we can see that improve the service throughout the whole area.
Yeah, and on that note, that brings us to an end. So thank you very much for sharing your time with me today, and I wish you all the best in retirement.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Providers Podcast. Hit subscribe to keep up to date with the latest news and catch up with what we've been up to on our website and social media pages.